next chapter 18, meeting of Lord Krishna with the Brahmin of the name Sudama. Where King Parikshit was hearing about the narrations of the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram from Sukadev Goswami, all of them being transcendentally pleasurable to hear, he began to say, addressing Sukadev Goswami as follows, in quotation, "My dear Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of both liberation and love of God simultaneously. Anyone becoming a devotee of the Lord automatically attains liberation without separate attempt. He is unlimited, and as such, he is pastimes and activities for creating, maintaining, and destroying the whole cosmic manifestation are unlimited. I therefore wish to hear about his other pastimes, which you may not have spoken as yet. My dear Master, the conditioned soul within this material world have been exasperated in the matter of searching out the pleasure of happiness derived from sense gratification. Such desires for material enjoyment are always piercing in the heart of conditioned soul. I am practically experiencing how the transcendental topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes can relieve one from the state of being afflicted by such sense-gratificatory material activities. I think no intelligent person rejects this method of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord again and again in order to remain always in transcendental pleasure without being attracted by material sense gratification." Quotation clause, next paragraph. In this connection, Maharaj Parikshit has used two important words, Vishanna and Visheshagna. Vishanna means morose. The materialistic persons, they are inventing so many ways and means for becoming fully satisfied, but actually they remain to be still morose. Question may be raised in this connection that sometimes those who are transcendentalists, they also remain morose. In this connection, Parikshit Maharaj has used the word Visheshanka. There are two kinds of transcendentalists, namely the impersonalist and the personalist. Visheshanka means the personalist who are interested in the transcendental variegatedness. That is, the devotees, they are jubilant in the description of personal activities of the Supreme Lord. Whereas the impersonalist, they are superficially attracted by the personal activities of the Supreme Lord, but actually they are attracted by the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. As such, the impersonalist, in spite of coming in contact with the pastimes of the Lord, do not fully realize the benefit out of it, and as such they remain exactly in the same way as the materialists are in pursuance of their fruitive activities. Next paragraph. The King Parikshit, therefore, continued to say, in quotation, "Our capacity for talking can be perfected only by describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Our capacity for working with our hands can be successful when we engage ourselves in the service of the Lord with those hands. Similarly, our mind can be pacified only when we simply think of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. This thinking power does not mean that one has to be very thoughtful, but one has simply to understand that Krishna, the absolute truth, is all pervasive by his localized aspect as Paramatma. Therefore, if only one can think that as Paramatma, Krishna is everywhere, even within the atom, such kind of thinking power will make the thinking, feeling, and willing function of the mind as perfect. Perfect devotee does not see the material world as it is, but he sees everywhere the presence of his worshipable Lord in his Paramatma feature. Maharaj Parikshit continued to say that the function of the ear can be perfected simply by engaging them in hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit further said that the function of our head can be fully utilized when the head is engaged in bowing down before the Lord and is represented. The Lord is represented in everyone's heart. That's a fact. Therefore, a highly advanced devotee offers his respect to every living entity, considering that the body is the temple of the Lord. But it is not possible for all men to come to that stage of life immediately, because that stage of consideration is for the first-class devotee. Second-class devotee, of course, can consider the Vaishnavas or the devotees of the Lord as representative of Krishna, or the devotees who are just beginning in the neophyte stage can bow down his head before the deity in the temple and the spiritual master who is direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, in either of the above stages, namely, either in the beginning neophyte stage or a further advanced intermediate stage or fully advanced in the perfect stage, one can make the function of the head perfect by bowing down before the Lord or his representative. Similarly, he can make perfect the function of the eyes by seeing the Lord and his representative. In this way, everyone can elevate the functions of the different parts of the body to the highest perfectional state simply by engaging them in the service of the Lord or his representative. If one is able to do anything more, he can simply bow down before the Lord and his representative and drink the charanamritam, the washed water from the lotus feet of the Lord or his devotee. Protection clause. On hearing these statements of Maharaj Parikshit, Sukhdev Goswami became too much overwhelmed devotional ecstasy on account of King Parikshit's advanced understanding of the Vaishnava philosophy. Sukhdev Goswami was already engaged in describing the activities of the Lord, and when he was further asked to describe the Maharaj Parikshit, with great pleasure he continued to narrate the description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Next paragraph. There was a very nice Brahmin friend of Lord Krishna. As a perfect Brahmin, he was very much elevated in transcendental knowledge, and because of his advanced knowledge, necessarily he was not at all attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, he was very peaceful and achieved supreme controlling power of the senses. This means this Brahmin was a perfect devotee, because without becoming a perfect devotee, nobody can achieve the highest standard of knowledge. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that a person who has come to the point of perfection of knowledge surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, In other words, it can be said that any person who has surrendered his life for the service of the Supreme Personality Godhead has come to the point of perfect knowledge. The result of perfect knowledge is that one becomes detached from the materialistic way of life. And detachment of materialistic way of life means complete control of the senses, which are always attracted by material enjoyment. This means the senses of the devotee become purified, and in that purified state, the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. That is the complete field of devotional service. Expire. This Brahmin friend of Lord Krishna was a householder also. But even as a householder, he was not busy in accumulating wealth. He was living very comfortably. Therefore, he was satisfied only by the income which automatically came to him according to his destiny. This is the sign of perfect knowledge, because a man who is in perfect knowledge knows that one cannot be happier than what he is destined for. In this material world, everyone is destined to suffer a certain amount of distresses and to enjoy a certain amount of happinesses also. These awards of happinesses and distresses are already there, destined for every living entity. Nobody can increase or decrease it, so far his materialistic way of life is concerned. The Brahmin, therefore, did not exert himself for more material happiness, but he saved time for advancement of Krishna consciousness. Externally, he appeared to be very poor because he had no nice dress. Either he could provide a very, very nice dress for his wife, and because their material condition was not very opulent, both of them appeared to be very lean and thin because of their not eating even sufficiently. The wife was not very much anxious for her personal comfort, but she felt very much for her husband, who was such a nice, pious Brahmin, but had no sufficient means to live and live very comfortably. The wife was trembling on account of her weak health, and although she did not like to dictate her husband, still she wanted to request him as follows. She said with inquisition, "My dear Lord, I know that Lord Krishna, who is the husband of Goddess of Fortune, is your personal class friend. You are also devotee of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna is always ready to help his devotee. Even if you think that you are not rendering any devotional service to the Lord, still you are surrendered to him, and the Lord is the protector of the surrendered soul. Over and above this, I know that Lord Krishna, as the ideal personality of Vedic culture, is very, very kind to the Brahmins. He is always in favor of the qualified Brahmins and Brahminical culture. So far yourself is concerned, you are the most fortunate person because you have got your friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is the only shelter for personalities like you, because you are fully surrendered unto him. You are saintly, learned, and fully controlled of your senses under the circumstances. Lord Krishna is the only shelter of you. Please, therefore, you go to him. I am sure he will immediately understand your poverty-stricken position, and you are also a householder. Therefore, you are in distressed condition. As soon as he understands your position, certainly he will give you sufficient riches so that you can live very comfortably. Lord Krishna nowadays is the king of the Bhoja dynasty, Brishni dynasty, and Andhaka dynasty. I have heard that he is not out of the capital city, Dwarka. Nowadays, he is living there without any outside engagements. He is so kind and liberal that any person who surrenders unto him, immediately he gives him everything up to his personal self. When he is prepared to give himself personally to his devotee, what is their wonderful that he cannot give some material riches to the devotee? Of course, he does not give much material riches to his devotee, so long he is not very much fixed up. But I think, in your case, he knows perfectly well how much you are fixed up in devotional service. Therefore, he will not hesitate to award you some material benefits for the bare necessities of your life. Prasam clause, next paragraph. In this way, the wife of the Brahmin began to request him to go to Lord Krishna again and again in great humility and submission. Induced by the repeated request of his wife, the Brahmin thought that there was no need of asking any material benefit from Lord Sri Krishna, but because his wife was requesting to see him, that is a great benefit. By her request, if I go there, I shall be able to see the Lord personally. That is a great opportunity. Even though I may not ask anything from him as a material benefit. Thus, when he decided to go to Krishna, he asked his wife if she had anything in the home for offering to Krishna, because when he would go there, he must take with him some presentation for the friend. The wife, immediately after hearing her husband, collected 4 palmful of chipped rice from the neighboring friends, and she tied in a small cloth like handkerchief and gave it to her husband for presenting to Krishna. The Brahmin also, without waiting further, he took charge of the presentation and began to proceed towards Dwarka to see Krishna. When he was proceeding towards Dwarka, he was absorbed in the thought how he could be able to see Lord Krishna. He had no other thought than Krishna within his heart. Next verse. It was, of course, very difficult to reach to the palaces of the kings of Jodha dynasty, but still the Brahmins were allowed to visit the palaces. And when the Brahmin, friend of Lord Krishna, went there, he had to pass through 3 military cantonments along with other Brahmins. In each and every such campus, there was very big gates also, and he had to pass through them. Between the gates and the camps, there were 16,000 big palaces as residential quarters of the 16,000 queens of Lord Krishna. In one of them, the Brahmin entered, because that particular palace was very much gorgeous and decorated. That particular palace appeared to be very, very beautiful. When he entered this particular palace, he thought that he was swimming in the ocean of transcendental pleasure. He thought himself that constantly he was diving and coming out of the ocean. At that time, Lord Krishna was sitting on the bedstead of Queen Rukmini. But yet, even from considerable distance, he could see the Brahmin coming to his home, and he could recognize him as his friend. Lord Krishna immediately left his seat and came forward to receive his Brahmin friend. And coming nearby, he immediately embraced the Brahmin with his 2 arms. Lord Krishna is a reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. Still, by embracing his poor friend, the Brahmin, he felt greater pleasure because he met his very, very dear friend. After meeting his dear friend, he got him seated on his own bedstead and personally brought all kinds of fruits and drink to offer him as it is due to a possible guest. Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme pure, and still, because he was playing the role of ordinary human being, he immediately washed the feet of the Brahmin, and with that washing water, he sprinkled his head to become purified by such action. After this, the Lord smeared over the body of the Brahmin with different kinds of scented pulp, as of sandalwood, oguru, and saffron. Not only this, he immediately burned several scented incense, and as usual, he offered him arasi with burning lamps. Thus, after offering him all adequate welcome etiquette, when the Brahmin had taken some food and drink, Lord Krishna said, "My dear friend, it is a great fortune that you have come here." The Brahmin, being very poor, was not dressed very nicely. His clothing were almost torn and dirty. Body was also very lean and thin, and appeared to be not very clean. And because of his weak body, all the nerves were distinctly visible. The goddess of fortune, Rukmini Devi, personally began to fan him with the drama within bracket whisk. When the Brahmin was being received in that way, another woman in the palace became very much astonished to see the behavior of Lord Krishna. They were surprised how Lord Krishna was so much eager to welcome this particular Brahmin. They began to think within themselves as to how Lord Krishna engaged a personally to receive a Brahmin who is very poor, not very neat and clean, ugly dressed. But at the same time, they could realize that the Brahmin was not an ordinary living being. He must have had a performed great past activities. Otherwise, how Lord Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, was taking so much care of him? They were still more surprised to see that the Brahmin was seated on the bedstead of Lord Krishna. They were surprised to see that Lord Krishna had embraced him exactly like he does to embrace his eldest brother Balaramji. They were surprised because Lord Krishna used to embrace either Rukmini or his elder brother Balaram and nobody else. After this, Lord Krishna and the Brahmin grasped each other's hand and began to talk about their past life when both of them were living under the protection of Gurukul, within bracket, a school boarding house. Thus, Lord Krishna, after receiving the Brahmin nicely and seated him on his own cushion bed, he said, within quotation, "My dear Brahmin friend, you are the most intelligent personality and you know very well the principles of religious life. Therefore, I believe after you finished your education at the house of teacher and sufficiently remunerated him, you must have accepted a suitable wife after coming back to your home. I know very well from the beginning you are not at all attached to materialistic way of life, neither you desire to be very opulent materially. and therefore you are in need of money. In this material world, persons who are not attached to material opulence is very hardly found. Such an attached person hasn't got the least idea of accumulating wealth and prosperity for sense gratification, but sometimes they are found to collect money just to exhibit exemplary life of householder. How, by proper distribution of wealth, one can become the ideal householder and at the same time say great devotee simultaneously. Such ideal householders are to be considered completely followers of my footsteps. I hope, my dear Brahmin friend, you remember all those days when both you and me were living together at the boarding house of our school life. Actually, whatever knowledge both you and I received in our life, they were accumulated in our student life only. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life under proper guidance and teacher, then his life becomes successful in the future. He can very easily cross over the ocean of nescience and is not subjected to the influence of illusory energy. My dear friend, everyone should consider his father as the first teacher, because he gives birth, and by the mercy of our father, we get this body. Father is therefore natural spiritual master. Our next spiritual master is who initiates us in the transcendental knowledge. The spiritual master is therefore adorable as much as I am. Such spiritual master may be more than one. The spiritual master who instructs the disciple about spiritual master is called Shikha Guru. And the spiritual master who initiates the disciple is called Dikha Guru. And both of them are my representative. There may be many instructor spiritual master, but the initiator spiritual master is one. A human being who takes advantage of these different types of teacher, spiritual master, and thus receiving proper knowledge from them, cross over the ocean of material existence, he is to be understood to have properly utilized his human form of life. He knows practically what is the ultimate interest of this human form of life, because in this human form of life only one can achieve spiritual perfection, thus be transferred back to home, back to Godhead. My dear friend, I am the super soul in everyone's heart. And as Paramatma, I am present in everyone's heart. My direct order is therefore that human society must follow the principles of varnas and ashramas. As I have stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that the human society should be divided into four varnas according to quality and action. Similarly, everyone should divide his life into four parts. The first part of the life should be utilized by becoming a bona fide student and receive adequate knowledge, keeping oneself in the bhav of brahmachari, so that one may completely devote his life for the service of the spiritual master without any indulgence of sense gratification. A brahmachari is meant for leading a life of austerities and penance. The householder is meant for living a regulative life of sense gratification. But nobody should remain a householder for the third stage of life, wherein one has to revoke his former austerities and penances practiced in brahmachari life, and thus get oneself relieved from the attraction of household life. And after being relieved from all sort of attraction for materialistic way of life, one may accept the order of sannyas as super soul of the living entity sitting in one's heart. I observe everyone's activity in any stage or order of life. So above all of them, when I see one is engaged seriously and sincerely to discharge the duties ordered by the spiritual master and thus dedicate one's life in his service, I like that person the foremost. So far the life of brahmachari is concerned, if one can continue the life of a brahmachari under the direction of a spiritual master, that is very, very good. But in the brahmachari life, if one feels sex impulses, then such brahmachari should take leave of his spiritual master by satisfying him according to his desire, which is called Guru Dakshina. Then he should take to householder's life, accept a wife under religious rites. Quotation close. Next verse. This instruction of Lord Krishna while talking with his friend, the learned Brahmin, are very good for the guidance of the human society. A system of human civilization without a reference to the principles of Varna and Ashrama is nothing but polished animal society. A man or woman living single is never accepted in the human society. Man, either he should strictly follow the principles of brahmachari life, otherwise, with the permission of a spiritual master, he must get himself married. Single life with illicit sex is exactly the life of animals where there is no such injunction as valid marriage. Next paragraph. In the modern society, there is no fixed up aim for fulfilling the mission of human life. The mission of human life is back to home, back to Godhead. Thus, to fulfill this mission of life, the system of Varna and Ashrama must be followed. Anywhere, any part of the universe, this Vedic system of Varna Ashrama is followed consciously or unconsciously. But when the system is followed rigidly and consciously, it fulfills the mission of our life. But when it is followed indirectly without any guidance of superior order, then it simply creates a disturbing condition of human society without any peace and prosperity. Next verse. Thus Krishna continued to talk with his Brahmin friend and inquired from him, "My dear friend, I think you remember all those days and activities of our living as students, and you may remember that sometimes both you and I went to collect fuel from the forest on the order of our guru's wife. While we are collecting the dry wood, by chance we entered in a dense forest. Thus we are lost in it, as there was accidentally a occurrence of a dust storm. And after that there was a cloud in the sky, the roaring sound of the thunderbolt, lightning, etc. And immediately there was sunset and everywhere became dark and we were lost in the jungle. After this, there was severe rainfall and the whole ground became overflooded with water. And we could not trace out how to return back, neither we could ascertain how to find out our way back to Guru's ashram. You may remember that heavy rainfall. It was not actually rainfall, but it was a sort of devastation. On account of the dust storm and then heavy rain, we began to feel very much painful and were bewildered from all directions. Thus being distressed in that condition, both of us caught each other's hand and engaged how to find out, to get out from that condition. The whole night we passed in that way, and early in the morning, when it was known to our Gurudev, he sent his other disciples to search out us. He also came with them and Aparad. When they reached in that jungle, they saw us too much distressed. With great compassion, our Gurudev began to say as follows, "My dear boys, it is very wonderful. It is very wonderful that you have suffered so much trouble for me. Everyone likes to take care of one's body as first consideration, but you are so good and faithful to your Guru that you did not care of the comforts of your body, and you have taken so much trouble for me. I am glad also to see that a bona fide student like you undergoes any kind of trouble for the satisfaction of a spiritual master. And that is the way of becoming free from the indebtedness to the spiritual master by a bona fide disciple. It is the duty of the disciple to dedicate his life for the service of the spiritual master. My dear best of the twice born, I am very much pleased with your action, and I bless you that all your desires and ambitions may be fulfilled. I also bless you that your studies of the Vedas from me may always continue to remain within your memory, so that at every moment you can remember the teachings of the Vedas and you can quote the instruction without any difficulty. Thus, you may not be disappointed both in this life and in the next." That's why Krishna continued to say, "My dear friend, you may remember that many such occurrences happen while we are in the ashram of our spiritual master. Both us are, therefore, can realize without the blessings of a spiritual master, nobody can be happy. By the mercy of the spiritual master and his blessings, one can achieve the platform of peace and prosperity and is able to fulfill the mission of human life." On hearing this, the learned Brahmin replied as follows, "My dear Krishna, you are the supreme Lord and the supreme spiritual master of everyone. And since I was so much fortunate to live with you in the house of our Guru, I think I have to do nothing more in the matter of prescribed duties of Vedic injunction. My dear Lord, the Vedic hymns, ritualistic ceremonies, religious activities, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, all that are necessities for the perfection of human life, all of them are derived from one source, your Supreme Personality. Such different destinations of life are ultimately meant for understanding your personality. In other words, they are different parts of your transcendental form. And still, you played the role of a student and lived with us in the house of a Guru. This means that you adopted all these pastimes for your pleasure only. Otherwise, there was no need of your playing in the role of a human being." Next one. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of Chapter 80, Krishna, and the matter of Lord Krishna meets Sudama, Brahmin friend.